Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thanks for joining us again tonight. I hope you're inside and out of the sweltering summer heat. Tonight we are going to talk about a few things that we think are really important. But first, I want to thank our fantastic sponsor, the One Institute. You can visit their page at www.oneinstitute.org. They sponsor us and they make it possible for us to be here with you, and we love them. So I want to say, welcome, Dr. Allen. You are on the air.
Well, hello, and I'm glad to be here. I wanted to say a couple of things that might be sensitive because a rumor came out that I had cancer.
Yes, that
and
is very,
so,
very true.
I want you to know I do not have cancer today.
Yes.
And the reason I ever do have cancer and other people in my family have cancer is I have the HER2 cancer-prone genetic makeup.
Now, is that the same thing that the beautiful Angelina Jolie?
No, she had BRCA.
BRCA, okay.
Hers, I believe, is more estrogen sensitive. Mine is more progesterone sensitive.
Very interesting. Now, yeah. Dr. Allen, currently I know, because I'm your manager and your friend, that you have a clean bill of health. We just had a beautiful MRI.
That's right. And but I did 5 years ago have a lumpectomy for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 19, I had what we now know is a dermoid cyst encapsulating my ovary, which is the only, pretty much only cyst that deteriorates from a cyst, because cysts normally don't.
Right.
But the dermoid cyst has a tendency to deteriorate if it's not dealt with efficiently, effectively, and quickly. And so I lost a baby and an ovary and did not have a... I have had a number of cancers on my face,
mm-hmm.
and my children have had various cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want to give honor to, I naturally had to go study with somebody, and I studied with O. Carl Simonton,
mm-hmm.
who wrote a book called Getting Well Again.
Yes.
And he has a manual that goes with it. And I have been working not only to help people deal with cancer in my office, because very often cancer can be psychologically caused by stress.
Yes.
You see?
Yes, I do.
And so I have a genetic predisposition, not a psychological one.
Right.
Do you see? So I will probably have various cancers in my life, but, you know, it's okay because I'm astute in watching and getting all the tests, and I cannot admonish people, men and women out there who, I never had any sons. I have 5 grandsons, but so far cancer has not gone to that extent
right.
with them. But 4 out of, let's see, I have 4 daughters, and I am the 6th woman, and we have collectively had 6 cancers.
Right.
So, and we're all alive, and we're all okay.
Well, and it's a blessing. One of the things that I think is fantastic is that you're very proactive and getting your screenings and yes. following up. And I think that's one of the major things that, I'd like to touch on is that if you have a suspicion, if you suspect, if you are feeling a little bit off, if you notice a little thing here or there, don't wait. Go in, get it checked out. The worst thing that can happen is they say, oh, you're a hypochondriac, and who cares? As long as you're clean, good, and healthy. We're blessed, and I know your students, your fans, your followers out there are really, really relieved to hear you address this directly.
Well, rumors can be disastrous. I don't want to listen. I don't want to deal with rumors. And to the people that graciously called my office worried about me, I'm cancer-free today. And I believe one thing. If you do all the footwork to avoid a problem, what results is God's will.
Yes, everyone who's called in, we want to thank you for your well wishes. We want to thank you for your concern, and we want to put you at ease. Dr. Allen has got a clean bill of health, and she's
today.
Every day is a new day, but today she is five by five and doing beautifully. Dr. Allen, I want to talk to you a little bit about a guest we have upcoming in July. I think it's really important.
Yes.
Robert Storr.
The director at D.D. Hirsch Suicide Prevention Clinic in Los Angeles.
I'm really, really looking forward to our visit with Dr. Storr. I think that suicide is a huge issue right now with young people, and really with all people, the way the economy is going and everything, you know, it knocks the wind out of some people's sails. And I'm interested to hear what Robert Storr has to say, and I'm looking forward to that. Everybody, that is going to be July 10th here on LA Talk Radio. And before we get started, I just want to remind you that you can call in at 323-203-0815.
And Robert Storr was an intern with me. He's totally trained in androgynous semantic realignment, and I've had the pleasure of knowing him over 20 years.
Wow, he's a really neat guy. I've got a chance to meet him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again. So we have a big question and answer thing going on, and one of the first ones we have is, it comes from a young woman who has been in a somewhat tumultuous relationship. She came to a conclusion that she believed this relationship was a codependent one. And oh, my goodness, we have a call. Maybe we should take the call first, and I'll come back to the codependent. Okay. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
What's your question?
Yes, good evening, Dr. Pat. I was dating a Norwegian man for a long time.
How long?
We started dating in 2009 until 2012.
So were you aiming towards mating or marriage?
That's what I never understood, because he doesn't believe in marriage in the paper.
I understand that.
He believes
that.
In, yeah.
I know in Sweden and Norway, and it's marriage is not particularly the goal of a couple. So that's
exactly.
Almost a tradition there now.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well, he wanted for me to stop working, move in with him, and have babies.
Be a free wife.
I'm sorry?
Be a free wife. No governmental protection for your alimony, child support, or whatever. That's a free wife.
That's exactly right. I like what
every,
you said.
Every right to do that. And what did you say to him?
I said no, because I do want a governmental contract.
Yes, right.
And so we took a break. I broke up the relationship because I couldn't take it, the pressure anymore. He was making a lot of pressure to me, for me to drop everything and go follow him around the world.
Yes.
So we did break up, and then more recently we started meeting again.
And well, I'm curious, are you meeting sexually or just socially?
We did meet sexually.
All right, so you're physically married to him and bonded.
Exactly.
But he's not legally married to you.
Yeah.
So can you see that women, when they're premenopausal, marry through commitments of the body, whereas men, their commitment is when they sign agreements that protect the woman from growing old, poverty, illegitimacy, problems having to do with living in a society. So where is it at today? Are you dating him?
No, I am not, because I thought that I could be friends with benefits while I was duty dating.
Yes.
And I have been duty dating, but I have not yet found someone. I'm still duty dating, but I haven't found anyone with whom I have had a strong connection as much as I had with him.
I know that. That's why I'm saying you're physically married to him. You're bonded to him.
Yeah.
It will take you 2 years of not smelling him to get over him.
2 years. It's a long time. Even if I duty date?
But see, the way you're duty dating, do you see or smell him now?
No.
Okay. And how long have you not seen or smelled him?
About a month.
Well, that's 2 years. No, that's 1 year and 11 months to go.
Okay, so
you will get over him either by not smelling him for 2 years or somebody coming along and stealing you from him. And that's why you're duty dating, in case somebody comes along.
Okay, so how do I do not to smell this man who just moved down to my city, which I wasn't very happy about it, because he was living overseas. So now he moved down, and I was unhappy when I found out that he moved back here, because then it complicates things for me.
It absolutely does, because you're going to smell him. He's going to be around you.
Yeah, she's likely to see him, too.
Well, the smell is that.
Yeah,
because we do have a lot of friends in common.
I fully understand that. So, do you want to do or take a legal step? You have an accent. What country are you from?
Brazil.
Okay. I appreciate that. Now, with that in mind, do you want to take a legal action? Is he in America or not?
He is.
Do you want to take the legal action of a restraining order?
No.
Okay. So what you're saying is you're going to simply duty date and hope that someone steals you from him. You're going to avoid him to the best of your ability, but you know that he's not going to leave you alone because you belong to him physically.
But how does he know that he doesn't know that I belong to him?
Yes, he does, my love. Oh, yes, he does. He knows he's been in your body. He knows you're in love with him. How old is he?
46.
So he's just starting. He's perianthropause. He's just starting to go off testosterone, really, and go on the estrogen in his body. But when he does do that, he will bond like you do, which can show up as stalking. You see? and hounding you into mating with him. Not marrying. He doesn't want to marry. Yeah.
So he just became karma.
Yeah, that's probably true. So yeah. Do you really want to tell him a serious message? Get a restraining order. If you want to risk a person stealing you from him, don't get the restraining order. Just do everything you can to fall in love with someone else. But there is a possibility, too, that as he gets more sensitive based on his biochemical changes, that he may decide to marry you. Will you accept marriage from him now?
At this point, I don't think I would.
Okay. Because?
Because I don't respect the way he's been living life.
What has he been doing? He's just a natural man.
He lives by the moment. He doesn't want to plan for the future. He doesn't want me asking him for a 2-year plan, for a 5-year plan. And he says that if I decide to follow him, I have to follow him wherever he goes.
That's right. So, with that in mind, your body wants him no matter what. And your brain is saying no. So, keep your body away from him and basically just ignore him until he either does something that impresses you and wants you to marry him and you want to marry him, or you're in a 2-year procedure. That's what you're in.
Okay.
You've just started it. And I hope you find somebody that replaces him.
Me too.
Thank you, caller.
I have another question. Could I ask or no?
Well, we've got some more callers, so we're gonna let you go, but try back again.
Thank you for calling.
Hi, caller.
Yes, is this Dr. Pat Allen show?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I'm on the internet, by the way, and I can't seem to get in live. I keep clicking on the listen live, and it won't let me test it yet.
Okay, you may need to refresh and try again. Did you have a question for us?
I do. So I am 63 years young, and I've been extremely successful and independent. I was married for 25 years, divorced for 7, and I literally can't find a good man in the Orange County area for the life of me.
Well, the fact that you're looking for one is very male.
I'm sorry?
The fact that you're looking for a man is very male. How old are you?
63.
Okay, then it's normal for you to look for a man. Do you understand that you probably would do well with a young man?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. But I'm in the Orange County area, and honestly, I found that most of the men here, I could write a book on my dating excursions, and it seems to me that most of them are just players.
Wait a minute.
And the men that were within 10 years of my age frame want a younger woman.
Yes, that's true. But a younger, do you want to get laid or paid in a relationship now? What's your preference?
I want to be in a relationship.
No, do you want him to have more money than you and be a man you look up to? Or do you want him to be a cute young one and entertain you sexually? What is it you want?
Well, my villain is I think it would be hard to find a man that's financially my equal or better, to be quite honest with you.
All right, so that
is another dilemma that I have.
There are lots of gorgeous young men that want a sugar mama.
I would have a hard time with that. I would have a hard time.
Has any young stud chased you?
I think I would be more interested in somebody that I could look up to.
But that means that person has got to be more financially stable, successful, and earn your respect. You sound like a very potent woman.
Well, and I have a tendency to intimidate men because I'm so intense.
I totally understand that. Now, have you thought of other cultures?
Not really.
When was the last time you visited Europe?
I haven't for a while. I just got basket back from Hong Kong and Bali, but that would not be a place where
no,
I would find a name.
I said right. Europe.
Yeah, okay.
When you go to Europe, whether it's France or whether it's Germany or whether it's England, you're going to find men that are going to know you as a woman.
And that's a good suggestion.
Your money, power, and prestige will not necessarily impress them. So you may want to go. I have one woman that goes to Europe monthly in order to feel like a woman.
Okay. It's a good suggestion because I do believe European men don't care about age as much as they do here.
No, they don't. They're very much, every woman is a woman, no matter what country she runs.
And do you feel, Dr. Allen, that, you know, a lot of times, you know, like, I've always been told that a man needs to feel needed. And I honestly don't need a man. I need a man in my heart, but I don't need a man to take care of me, or I don't need a man.
It has nothing to do with needing him. It has to do with being in awe of him, respecting him. The tools you use are communication. Always treat him with respect. Let him lead. You be passive. You be patient. You be vulnerable to his leadership. Do it his way, unless you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer. Do you understand?
Okay. I
call that fake beta. I know you're an alpha, I can hear it, but I suggest that you act like a fake beta. Do it his way, you big, strong man. Now, I know I can just see people, women, you know, ready to throw up out there. I want you to know first impressions count, and if you want respect from a man, then I've got news for you. The only men you can be with have to be men that have less power, less finances, less everything than you. If you want a man that wants to... Harvard did this study. Yang men, powerful men, want sensual and sexual gratification after they get home from work. Powerful women who want to be with a powerful man want marriage, and they want financial stability, not security, because you've got your own security. They want a man who can pay his own bills and doesn't require them to pay their bills for them. So I suggest that you get out there wherever you smile and laugh. Do you play tennis? You play golf? What do you do?
Well, I'm very active. In fact, tomorrow I'm going with a road biking group. I'm always doing something every day.
Okay, because men see women who are smiling and having fun on their own. So be where men can see you playing. You see? And treat them, if they earn your respect, treat them very respectfully. Because the more you respect them, the more they feel cherished, and then they can cherish you.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, very good advice. Thank you, Dr. Allen.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. All right, Dr. Allen. So, okay, callers, we missed a few of your calls, so try us again, 323-203-0815. And, I want to take a moment to remind everybody that our fabulous Susan Wagner put together a seminar for July 5th, 9 to 5, Holiday Inn, Long Beach. She had so many calls and so many people that wanted to be in your seminar prior Dr. Allen.
This is Spillover Crew.
Right. That she was able to eke the time out of your schedule, which isn't always easy, to put this together. So I want to remind everybody about it, and I want to tell you, you can go and register for this fantastic chemistry, compatibility, and communication seminar at www.wantistore.com. And we have another caller.
Good.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
I have a question. I just want to know, I have a question to ask. It's not a relationship question. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. I was dreaming the other night about ISIS, you know, and then I got up in the morning. I started really upset, you know, and I was just wondering, what should our country do about ISIS? Because I know it just really upsets me.
I want you to understand crusades and ISIS and revolutions have gone on in man's behavior since time began. Your very best bet is to do what's right in your nest, in your home, because it's a one-to-one operation. If we each do our part of integrity, and that means we're willing to negotiate, not intimidate, and not seduce people, we can overwhelm anything that's evil. Because
so you don't think we should we go to war with them, or what should we do?
We are at war with them. This is a new form of war. Terrorism is where you scare us to the point that we get clumsy. Now, we watch what's happening in the Mideast, and we see that, yes, people are afraid of the terror phenomenon. But if they each individually make a commitment to do what they know is right in their personal lives, the collective total will end up winning.
Okay, I saw a special about him and I dreamed about it and it just really upset me. I just, you know. I got to work on my own household. That's true.
What are you doing to prove that you're a good American and willing?
Well, I take care of my ill husband, and I take care of my mom, my Alzheimer's mom, and I fight with my son periodically.
Okay.
Which is not good.
Then I want you to know you've done your part in the war against terrorism.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I goof up sometimes, you know, I really do.
I want you to understand that being a human being means that you go through things that are painful regularly, at least 50% of the time. But if you handle it with integrity, it wires your brain, it keeps you in good health, because you're doing what's right.
Right. I've had health problems too in the past, and I just don't want any more, So, yeah.
Okay.
I got to just work on myself and my household.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I'm going to do that.
Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Hang in there.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so our little girl with the question, she said she realizes that it's a codependent relationship. And
that's where one person's a 10,
and the other,
they get respect and cherishing, and the other one is a zero.
And her question is, Dr. Allen.
Yes?
I've just come to the conclusion, after hearing you speak, that I am in a relationship that is highly codependent. Unfortunately, I am not the 10. I am the 0. Is there ever a way to even this equation out? I think that you should know that I've been with this person for 11 years, and I have come to the conclusion that changing him may be impossible, but I love him. What do you advise?
What I advise is Aikido, which is a form of martial art. And there's a great book by George Leonard called The Way of Aikido. It's an art form of war that says roll with the punches, you know, hide under the table when you need to. If he's 51% valuable to you, then stay with him, but never try to change him. If he's not 51% valuable, then your job is to leave him. Because if you love anybody better than yourself, you are, in fact, codependent, which produces nasty cortisol. You're tolerating.
Mm-hmm.
You see, accepting and rejecting are two sides of the coin of love.
Right.
But toleration is flipping a coin. Sometimes you accept and sometimes you reject. But that produces a very, very dangerous chemical in your body, which ruins your T cells, strips your myelin off your nervous system,
mm-hmm.
and whether we like it or not, predisposes you to cancerous problems. So if I were you, I would know I am with this person because he's a good father. I am with this person because he has a good sense of humor. I don't know what you're with him for.
Right.
You see, maybe he's a good lay. Who knows? But you've got to know why you're there.
Right.
Every relationship has its dark sides. But if the dark side is greater than the light side, you won't have to worry about it too long because the stress will kill you.
Right. Okay. Well, to my Facebook friend out there who sent in the question, I thank you, and I hope that you're listening and you take the advice that Dr. Allen gave you for, you know, the rest of the information that you know that we don't. So if you feel brave, call in. All right, 323-203-0815 is our call-in number. So, Dr. Allen, when you're going through that in a relationship like that, where maybe the distress, when maybe on some days the person is 51% valuable, but then, I don't know, a series of catastrophic events occurs. The person loses their job or their house or their car and all of that. Then what? It's not like they're a good provider. They're angry. They're violent. They're depressed. They're this. They're that. Is there a time when you just simply must go?
I believe in the scientific technique of blind studies.
Mm-hmm.
So a blind study is one in which I know you have little clickers that you can use, but I use the old style. Take two colored pieces of paper, mm-hmm. red, blue, whatever, cut them up into little squares.
Right.
Have an envelope, and every time you think about the problem, if it were right now, would I leave him? Yes or no? Now, one color paper is for yes, and one color paper is for no.
Uh-huh.
And do that weekly. Vote, vote, vote as many times in the day as you want to. And then at the end of a week, tally the votes, and then do it again. Because what you're telling yourself is what you really feel inside without people telling you what to feel.
And then at some point, depending on which color square outholds it, then what you've done is you've just answered your own question.
That's exactly right.
Definitely. And I hope she's listening, and I hope she heard that because she's a great girl and feeling very lost and very alone right now. So,
okay.
The next question. Yikes. I have two children with the gentleman I'm currently with. I feel very bored in our relationship. There's somebody at work that I don't feel bored when I'm with. Is it worth it to switch relationships to get rid of my current mate? I have two children with him. I don't know what to do. I feel so bored that I'm going out of my mind.
Think of the highest price you'll have to pay. And what is the highest price you may have to pay?
Right. Well, she
may kill you and the kids. Right. How many times have we seen it in the paper?
Right. Over and over. We see that over and over. Yeah.
So more people die of misused sexuality than almost anything. Now, if you believe that you are with an immoral, unethical, illegal person, then you have a reason to leave. What I'm hearing is that you want a more fun person. Well, I hate to mention this, but every relationship is half fun and half pain.
Right.
Because that's the way the species operates. I work to help people negotiate boundaries and deals, but, you know, true to form, you get into a bind.
Right.
So if I were you, I would dipstick and find out over a month of testing at least.
Right.
Month to 2 months before you do something, either sexual with the new dude.
Right.
You see? Because once you start that game, what happens is, yes, your body bonds to the new man, but interestingly enough, the man that you're having sex with is going to hold you accountable for having sex with him and being married, knowing that you could do it to him.
Right. So the once a cheater, always a cheater.
That's exactly right.
Right.
So if I were you, I would dipstick seriously whether you want to leave, because you don't have to divorce. We're not a common law state if
right.
you're in California.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got two charming children, fine. But men have a tendency, when they're betrayed, you know,
right.
to go violent.
Right.
So if you can keep yourself and your children safe, maybe move home to Arkansas with your mom and dad, someplace where you would be in a safe environment. But mostly what I want you to know is think of the highest price you'd have to pay. And you don't even have to face divorce. What you face is the possibility of murder. So what are you going to do?
Right. I'm wondering, too, if maybe she can reflect and see if part of the reason that she's bored might have to do with her, too. I mean, can she try before she throws away this relationship at the cost of possibly her life or her children?
She can
to try to spice it up.
You got it. You might want to go to a therapist.
Right. Somebody like you that can that really guide couples and say, hey.
Help them upgrade their contract.
I'm often curious, and when people want to change each other, and I say, well, what was it that attracted you in the first place, and
right.
why would you want to change that if that was the thing that attracted you? It's always a puzzle to me. It's like, hold on, that's what attracted you and now you want to change.
The human animal likes divergence. We like variety.
Yeah.
You see? And so, first of all, to build a relationship well, you've got to know if you're building something.
Right.
I'm hearing that this is a mating experience,
right.
not a marriage. And basically, bodies have come together and made other little bodies.
Right.
But before you tear it all apart, think of the highest price tag. So every time you think of it, vote. If it was right now, would I leave?
Mm.
Am I willing to risk the highest price?
Yeah. And that could be a really high price tag.
Very high price.
Okay, we have this one, and it came in from our Facebook followers. And she says, I feel that I'm yin. However, I have worked on increasing my yang in order to be successful at work.
Oh, yes.
Can you discuss how to be yang at work, yet to be yin in a particular yang with a yang male coworker? How does one manage that successfully, the balance between yin and yang, yin and yang at home, you know, yang at work, yin at home? How do we balance that?
Men have been doing it for a long time. They
mm-hmm.
go to work and fight the great war financially, and then they come home and are daddy
mm-hmm.
or hubby. So for we women, we have to, I often tell men, don't call your woman at work because you're going to get a Gestapo agent. Yes.
Right.
5 o'clock. What
fine.
Are you doing?
Right, fine. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because when you're a man, you're a man. Whether you're a woman or a man, you sound like a man.
Right.
So what I say is, first of all, you've got to know, am I a career man or a career woman? Am I a man or a woman with a career or a job? You've got to know that. What's your priorities?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to mate with somebody that is complementary to your priorities. So a career man very often marries a woman with a career.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
But career men marry career women when they want to build a business.
Okay.
They're married, but
right.
they want to build a business. You see?
Right.
And hooking up is usually two girls. Your place or mine, fun, fun, fun.
Right.
They both want to feel good to do good, whereas career people want to do good to feel good. So you've got to know what you want in a relationship, and then you have to talk like that.
Right.
So when women get off work, I recommend they take 30 to 60 minutes to get out of their head and into their body. Maybe they go to the gym. Maybe they go shopping, but not buying.
Right.
Buying takes mail.
Right.
Shopping is pretty colors, girlfriends, cup of tea, you see?
Right.
So it's gratification time. So take the time after work to get out of your head and into your body, and then go home. You will be in the right position to relate to your husband and kids. You'll be a woman, not a robot, masculine, female.
So really, take off that business coat metaphorically on the way home. You take off your uniform. You take off your suit. You take off whatever metaphorically.
Mostly.
Before you walk in the door.
You leave your balls at the office.
Right. Or at least hide them in your purse.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so Dr. Allen, we have another one. And this one is maybe a bit touchy. Been with my woman for 2 years. We're engaged. Here's the problem. She already doesn't want to have sex. And I do cherish her. I know that's your question that comes next, Dr. Allen. I give her flowers. I give her candy. I tell her how fantastic she is, how beautiful, how wonderful, how charming. And I fix things around the house, take out the trash. Whatever makes her smile makes me smile.
Good.
What's happened? Why is she resistant to my lovemaking?
Now that they're married?
They are engaged.
Engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Because what used to be a want is now a should.
Ah.
And I'm sensing that she really is more masculine than he knows.
Mm.
And that the control of a masculine woman is quite serious.
Right.
So is he prepared to be a wife? He sounds like he could.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot now, but does he want to be a wife forever?
All right. Well, to my Facebook pal who sent us that question, can you follow up with us and let us know? And we have a call, Dr. Allen. Let's take
okay.
it. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Yes. So, let's see. I am a very, very feminine woman. And I've been, over the years, kind of like working my way to that because I didn't grow up in a situation that would be conducive to me behaving that way at all. I grew up with a single mother, and I didn't have that kind of role model, but I sort of like combat my way to that. And right now, I've been dating someone for 60 days now, and he's very much a man, you know, like with very much like the whole behavior when I read the getting to a do book is like kind of like really by the book. So the thing is, I live in New York and he lives in California. And he travels a lot for business, and that's how we got to meet. And when we first met, I came in with a degree of cynicism because of the distance. However, we were both very attracted to each other, so we had a first date. We had a second date 3 weeks after the first date, and after that day, I still was kind of like, with my degree of cynicism, and I also kind of like get working my way out of hedonism. So we ended up having sex that night, and then we've continued to see each other like every other week or so when he comes, and I feel that that's going well.
I hear it's going well.
Well, I'm sorry?
I hear it's going well.
Yes, but the thing is, like, we did have sex before. I mean, he actually, from the beginning, he asked me, you know, what is it that you're looking for? And he was, like, very open about,
did
you know,
you
I'm
tell
looking
him?
For
what
a
are you
relationship. He was the one who started that whole conversation. He's like, you know,
good.
Like, I'm looking for a serious relationship, and I, you know, like, I really like you. And I really wish I had not had sex on that second date. I was kind of just cynic because I just
but
wasn't
what
really.
What I'm hearing is that you got a commitment from him after you had sex. Is that true? Are you going steady now or no?
I think that we had a conversation that night before. However, I guess I need more understanding of what the commitment means, because
what it means. Good. One moment. A commitment means, for especially men, that they're not going to present themselves as available or sexual to other women. Does your guts tell you he's monogamous?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, yes, he did bring that conversation early.
All right.
I think on the day he was like, I do not believe in polyamory or polygamy.
Okay.
Therefore,
are you monogamous?
I am, yes.
Okay. Are you both aiming towards a long-term mating or marriage relationship, or is he going to Europe and never coming back in a month? Are you both compatible when it comes to long-term goals?
I think so. However, I think that I probably would need to bring that up and talk more specifically about it. I think that we've talked about it on the sidelines.
Well, then bring it up.
Okay, for the most part. And, you know, like, I'm willing to move, for example.
Not unless you're engaged. Wait a minute. You don't move unless you're at least engaged to somebody.
I understand that, yes.
All right. Now, longevity, continuity, and exclusivity are the three commitments that go with being in love. Two out of three doesn't work. So long term, you're going to the same place. Monogamy.
Right, monogamy, I think that that's clear. I think that continuity and longevity
what
could
about
be clear.
Continuity?
And I guess my whole thing is, like, how do I bring up the conversation since we already have sex?
Because you're going to say when he next wants to make love. Before we make love, I want to clarify three things. Are you willing? That's what you say. Before you have your next intercourse or making love, ask for a conversation about monogamy, continuity, and
longevity.
Well, monogamy and longevity.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yes.
Dr. Allen, believe it or not, we are out of time. What do you have to say to us tonight?
Well, what I want to say tonight is the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Yes. Okay, everybody. Thank you for coming with us tonight on this journey. We appreciate it. Again, I want to thank everybody who called in to check on Dr. Allen. We thank you. Dr. Allen loves you all and appreciates you all. She is doing wonderful, has a clean bill of health, and a beautiful MRI. I want you to follow us on Facebook. Find us at www.drpalinallen.com. And if you do and you sign up for our email newsletter, we will send you a free recording of one of our Monday night shows, which is pretty exciting. So, again, we love you and we thank you for being with us tonight. Come back with us next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.